sin affects her divine son. And so Mary, obviously, she's connected intimately with the redemption of man, and that she offers Christ, she is united with him in her suffering, but it's not external. Our Lord's sufferings are the external ones also. He has the internal as well. But Our Lady's are purely internal sufferings, internal sorrow, internal anguish, all of the darkness of what it meant for Our Lord to die for sin. Our Lady experienced that in her soul by being pierced with the seven sorrows in her heart. So Our Lady, she endured that pain that was, as they say, more painful, much more painful to suffer interiorly than it is externally. No matter how painful the exterior is, the internal, because it just doesn't go away, it stays. So for Our Lady, meditating upon the seven sorrows, first and foremost, it helps us to avoid sin, because it keeps in our mind what is the effect of sin. Sin is not just something that is abstract, it is something tangible right in front of our mind that we can visualize and see the effect of it. So the more that we meditate on the effect of sin, we can more confidently resist the temptation, more confidently fly to our Blessed Mother and seek refuge. We see kind of a paradox in Our Lady, and this happens always with spiritual things. There's a paradox between suffering and joy. Suffering and joy. Mary's greatest sorrows, particularly at the foot of the cross, they were not moments of despair. To any other human being, that would have been the greatest moment of despair. The greatest possible suffering, the greatest possible defeat, those moments would have been that for anyone else if it wasn't Our Lady. That wasn't Our Lady. And so her pain, her sufferings, that was not a block to joy. Because true joy is only achieved through suffering. It's only achieved through offering things up. It's only the recognition of the fact that this life is a passing, transient thing that's the entrance into heaven. It's just a step. It's not a lasting thing. So our joy is not to be sought here. Sometimes we think of joy as if it's just a natural joy. Like certain things in nature give us a natural joy. That is fine. But supernatural joy is something completely different. It's much higher, much more lofty. It's something that can only be achieved through sacrifice, by recognition of the cross. St. Louis de Montfort, as always, sums this up very good in True Devotion. He says this: "Happy indeed, sublimely happy are the faithful servants of the Blessed Virgin, who faithfully imitate her virtues, and especially her profound humility, her lively faith, her blind obedience, her continual mental prayer, her mortification of all things, her surpassing purity, her ardent charity, her heroic patience, her angelic sweetness, and her divine wisdom. These are the 10 principal virtues of the Most Holy Virgin, and they are a sure way to find Jesus Christ, perfectly to be united with him." And then he continues, this section continues, but he says this at the end of it: "And amid the sorrows of this life, the most devoted find peace and even joy, because Mary herself shares in their sufferings and brings them to her Son. And amid the sorrows of this life, the most devoted find peace and even joy, because Mary herself shares in their sufferings and brings them to her Son." But I think it's a good overall theme for us to think about in this month of September, is how the sorrows of this life are not a roadblock. We always, in our human nature, we think of them as a roadblock. They are actually a propellant in the spiritual life. They are a propellant, so that's what I can think of, is moving us in the direction of being imitators of Christ. When we think about the sorrows of our Blessed Virgin Mary, and we think about her role in it, and we think about how she's our mother, if we can truly think about all those things properly, we get a greater understanding of how Mary's greatest joy in us, like seeing us, her greatest joy in what we can do, is seeing in us a reflection of Christ. Because then all those sorrows are not in vain, they're not for nothing. They have a purpose, because our Lord redeems us, but we have to cooperate with it. We have to will to be saved. Our Lord saves by the redemption, dying on the cross, opening the gates of heaven, but we have to cooperate with those graces that are given to us. And Our Lady, she's our mother. She is there guiding us to that, because a fountain of grace. And so in that theological sense, she is the mediatrix of all graces, undefined truth, beautiful truth, but nevertheless very true and quite obvious in theology and scripture. Mary, the mediatrix of all graces, that whatever graces that our Lord desires to give to us, they flow through the hands of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And she is the mother who distributes them, and she forms us. She forms us into Christ. And so in those moments that we can look at our own interior life, the things that we have to endure during the week, the months, whatever trials that we endure, if there are sufferings that are in any of those things, be it the daily sufferings or just the daily toil of life, or greater sorrows that we experience from our fellow neighbor, it could be from your children, it could be from anyone, those sorrows, Our Lady, she sees those very clearly, and she sees their role in our sanctification. She doesn't will them directly, obviously, because most of the time they're direct evil. And Our Lady can't obviously will that. She, along with an understanding with the divine plan of God, His providence, it allows us to become Christ-like by experiencing those sorrows, by enduring those trials, by overcoming those temptations. And she's there, just like she was at the foot of the cross of our Lord. We have to think about this imagery as well. As Our Lady is there at the foot of the cross of our Lord, she's watching all these horrible things happen to her divine Son, and she can't stop them, because she knows that they're necessary. They're necessary for the redemption of man. And how true that is for us as well. It's not like Our Lady is oblivious to our sufferings. She sees them. She's our mother. She truly is our mother. And she truly cares for each and every one of us. So she sees the sorrow. She sees the pain. She sees the suffering. But she's not going to take it away unless that is of God's will. That thing is too much for us to handle, and that God will remove it from us. But if it is something that is going to lead to our greater sanctification, Our Lady is going to be there helping strengthen us, but she's not going to intercede to remove it, because that thing is going to help us become like Christ. So as we reflect today in this whole month of September, let us keep coming back to this thought of the seven sorrows of Mary. Let us keep focusing on the sorrows of Mary and how it's not an obstacle to her joy, how in fact it propels that joy. But let us not only interior and make this an interior act just on the part of ourselves, let us try to use this thought and try to apply it to others. What do I mean by that? It's still very vague, but compassion. Compassion is exactly what Our Lady is doing on behalf of us. She's recognizing the pain, but she's not interested in taking it away because it helps towards our sanctification. Now, this can happen different with our neighbor, and this is what I mean by not only applying it to ourselves, but trying to apply it to help others in charity. In our neighbor, we try to alleviate their pain and sorrow, but sometimes we simply can't. Sometimes we can't. It's not in our power to remove something. Maybe the person is suffering from something they did. Maybe they're suffering from something that is closely related to them that they did, and they have to endure this as part of their God's plan for their sanctification. They have to endure it. You can't take it away, but what can you do? You can have compassion. Compassion. We can imitate our Blessed Mother in that, of having a great compassion on our neighbor. What is the root word of compassion? It's Latin, of course. You see the two root words, co, meaning with, and passion. To bear the passion of someone else interiorly. To bear it. To take on some of that pain that person is experiencing, internalize it for yourself, to feel it, and to enter into their world for a brief moment to alleviate their sorrow. And in that, we see how we can really imitate our Blessed Mother. Of course, we can do it interiorly. We're called to do that. But the greatest act we can do is to help others. their sorrow. That is much greater than just enduring our own, because we're entering, willingly entering into someone else's pain and sorrow. No one wants that. Naturally, nobody wants to do that. That's a purely supernatural act of compassion on our neighbor, absolute charity, to enter into their world of pain and sorrow and to try to alleviate it. So let us, in this month of September, have a greater understanding, knowledge of the seven sorrows, and try to apply them better in our life. Really focus on not only our own self, what we have to do, but recognize the fact that we are all connected in this God's plan for our sanctification, and how he calls us to work on our own soul interiorly, but also to help others. Just as Our Lady is our mother, and she is there watching over all of her children, let us be instrumental in that, and let us be instrumental as members of the confraternity, working towards being instruments in the hands of Mary. We say slaves of Mary. The St. Louis Concord put it so perfectly. So let us reflect on all these things. Strive to say our seven sorrows, the devotion of seven sorrows every day, the seven Hail Marys while meditating on the seven sorrows. And let us really put this into practice in our daily life, focusing on it and taking it in a deeper understanding of all our Blessed Mother. Ecce Mater Tua, behold your mother. In the name of the Father, and the Son.